We advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King. Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
Not so fast. Loses me.
Of course I would do that.
Sofa King with me.
You say funny things.
Episode 400, and I fucking...
What were you doing
shit my meal.
There?
I was trying to make sure it actually went live where it went live.
Where'd it go live at?
It went live in the main group.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, that way everybody...
It's gonna ruin it for everybody.
The clank fucked it up, though.
Yeah. It's gonna ruin it for everybody. Ruin the show awesome. For everybody.
Thanks a lot,
the
Brent.
Secret. It's the secret show.
At least I got cookies.
I thought we should hide this show on the internet somewhere. People have to find it.
I like that.
We could take it back. If you didn't see it in the group, then you got to go find it.
Oh, that'd be kind of funny.
I have an idea for it right now, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't say anything, obviously.
Okay.
That might be kind of funny. Nope. Just missing. You just don't get the 400th episode unless you search for it.
Oh, no. Episode 411 should be missing.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's happening for sure.
Maybe we have to revisit
that's
that
coming.
Topic.
Oh, what the fuck is going on here?
Oh, yes. It happened to you. You got the lowrider?
No.
You got hydraulics?
Like, no, my chair just jumped forward on me.
Oh.
And I never touched anything. I don't know.
You look short
that's
now.
Yeah,
episode 400 is cursed.
Something's happening. What the fuck? This is all wrong.
You're doing the Sid lowrider. You want some of these cookies?
No, fucking come on,
bro. I saw you eyeballing them.
I don't even know what those are. They look hard.
They're South African cookies, man. They're good. They're like the Danish ones. These ones are good.
It's going to throw off your whiskey, though.
I got to eat the whiskey.
Oh, we do need to drink whiskey.
Yeah. So we are not indoctrinating a new whiskey to the wall. We are celebrating the 400th episode with a revisit from the most excellent... John Walker Distilleries XR21, which is a special reserve 21-year-old, which was given to us by Aldo Marchese.
Aldo Rivera.
Yeah.
Allegedly, he had to give the captain of a ship a hand job to
captain
get this.
Captain of a ship, boy.
What is that?
Yeah, man, right near the beach.
Right near the beach.
My third bass album.
Mm.
So we're going to drink this most excellent whiskey in celebration of 400 episodes.
I did it with cookie crumbs in my mouth. Ooh, that's smokier than I remember.
It's still smoky.
Mm-hmm.
Still so good.
That is really good.
Ugh.
Why'd you put it up?
Well, it's top shelf.
I know. We could have kept drinking it, though, if it was on this shelf.
Yeah, but then we'd have to.
We really should. We got to change some things around.
It's a disaster. We need a new shelf. Yeah. There's
we need to do a rating. We need to really get down here and do a rate. Like, take a sip of every single one of
these
motherfuckers.
That's never going to happen. That will not happen. I'll do it right now, man.
I'll do it.
It better take 40 episodes to do that.
You better wear an adult diaper or we're going to be
fucking... You can't even do that because by the 10th taste, you're fucking trashed. Your face will be numb.
No.
Then you do a straw.
Sip.
Mm-hmm.
A straw makes it worse.
No, you take a straw. You dip it in.
You just get a taste. All you need is the taste. It's a dribble.
You have to drink water in between or something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm game, but that doesn't sound as fun as the other
one. Like when they're training you at a bar to mix, like that's how they'll taste it.
And then you swish your mouth out with water and cleanse your palate, have a scoop of ice cream, and then you do the next one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You end up gaining like 27 pounds because you eat scoops of ice cream.
You look like Guy Fieri on the 27th season of fucking Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Looks like a fucking overweight chipmunk.
Jesus Christ.
You didn't eat the first one yet? Like scoops
no.
Snacks? I'm going to eat them all.
Not that big.
They're good. No. It's like one. It's like more of the cookies from the blue can.
No.
One of the cookies from blue can tastes like this.
You're thinking of the swirly one, but it's not.
Oh, maybe. Except for they have like sugar or salt crystals on those cookies.
That's the flat one.
Yeah. Damn, Brad's got the fucking blue can memorized.
They've got don't they have the sprinkles on the pretzel one too?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. That one, the flat one, the rectangle one. And then you have the one with the, it has the texture to it. It looks like they used the little piping thing and made it. And then you have the round biscuit ones. They all have crystals. They all have sugar crystals, except for that one.
He knows. He knows his tins.
Yeah.
You look like fucking Peter Dinklage right now on the camera. I don't know why you're so short. It's just like your fucking neck. You're just like neck up right now.
I think it's because of whatever happened.
Well, that'll do it. Oof. There you go. Ah, problem solved. Fuck the chair. Too bad it's up to your chest. You're like a little kid trying to make a PB&J on the kitchen counter.
I don't even hear you right now.
That was perfect, actually. It just fell right into place.
That's good, yeah.
So much adjustment went into trying to figure those cameras out. And you just like loosened the thing and it fucking fell into the perfect spot.
I'm an artist.
Yeah.
But an artist. What can I say?
So any thoughts on 400?
What do you mean?
400 episodes, the blood, sweat, and tears of getting here.
Yeah. I have to set these cookies down.
I don't really feel like, I don't know. Like, I think it's not like getting to the next 100 isn't really a milestone. I think 1,000. Yeah. Like 1,000. That's a lot.
That'll be nuts.
But really, we've done more than 400 episodes.
We have done more than 400.
We've done like 465 or something, if you count bonus episodes. But those aren't regular episodes. They don't count.
They're not regular episodes.
So regular
that's why they don't count.
Regular content episodes are 400.
Focus topics.
400.
That's how I refer to them.
Focus topics.
Yeah.
But this is a regular
episode. A couple of monkey cats in there.
I can't get
some bullshit.
You want to go to CJ's house, get a long chicken sandwich? I can't get that out of my head now.
It's CJ's house is Carl's Jr.'s long chicken sandwich is Burger King.
Yeah. But you want to go there? Get a long chicken sandwich. I can't get it out of my head. I say it every day now.
You know how like doesn't happen often, but every so often you smell something.
What the Rock is cooking.
That is so like, it so triggers your memory that you get like overwhelmed with being at that place because of a smell that you have. Have you guys had that
like
experience?
Rollerama.
Like a smell of a morgue.
Whatever it is.
Pirates
of the
Caribbean.
You smell a thing and it's like that place.
Elementary classroom.
That's the
place. Because the first time it ever happened to me, I was a kid. I spent a couple of years in Bakersfield, moved to Michigan, came Michigan, Bakersfield, Michigan, Bakersfield.
Yeah.
So I walked into
Michigan, Bakersfield again.
Strip club.
Michigan, Bakersfield again. You didn't get it.
I walked into a thrifty
ice cream
drugstore,
right.
And they sell ice cream, and it was one over on
Black
Ming
Cherry.
Avenue, and I walked in and I just was like overwhelmed with having been there before, and
nostalgia.
I realized this was the one that was like a half a mile from my house when I was a kid, and we would walk up there and get the ice cream, and it was like like all flooded back when I smelled it. I say that
you smelled
because
thrifties.
I smelled thrifties. Well, I went inside,
and
then I fully had flashbacks of childhood at that same exact place. Mm-hmm. I was doing something the other day. I haven't been in a Burger King in fucking 10 years. I did something the other day and I fully had that sensory experience that put me in a Burger King, like the exact smell
what could you possibly
of a
be
Burger
doing?
King. I was changing Vaughn's diaper.
What the fuck?
I have not bullshitted you. I opened it up. The poop was full of wild rice and very strange looking. And then the waft hit my face and I was standing in a Burger King.
So,
and I'm not even talking shit about Burger King. When I ate meat and when I ate fast food, Whoppers were my favorite fast food burger. And I loved a long chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
I loved Burger King.
We had but something that happened
one
time.
The smell of his poop was a Burger
when
King.
When I worked at Best Buy, we were like the number one in the region, the area through the whole fucking company. Our Best Buy was like number one for everything for our computer department.
We can be only one.
Yeah. And so to celebrate, they rented like limos and took us to fucking like Benihana's and Santa Clarita, some crazy shit. And we're in this limo and this one dude, Kirk, was fucking drinking like a crazy. And like, we weren't even there yet, I don't think. And he fucking puked into a bag in the limo, but it smelled exactly like a Taco Supreme from Taco Bell. And we all were like, oh shit, he's going to throw up. Like, we were just worried and he fucking puked. And then we all looked at each other and I was like,
Smells like Taco
Supreme. Does that smell like fucking Taco Supreme from Taco Bell? And everyone's like, yeah, I'm fucking weirded out. Like, it's making me hungry. It's literally making me hungry right now. What in the fuck
Hey, can we
happening?
Pull off a Lions right here?
Yeah.
Get a Taco Bell right here and get a Taco Supreme. Smells pretty good. Thanks, Todd. Yeah,
it's better than Brad's tuna piss if it smells like Taco Supreme.
I like tuna sandwiches.
Because usually it that
smells
could
like albacore.
That could be a chain reaction. When someone throws up, you smell throw up, and the you next guy starts fucking dry.
Right, exactly.
That's a very weak stomach. Yeah.
So, and we do have a special item that we've generated for the 400th episode, and we're not going to talk about it till the end of the episode. Wow. So listen, you bitches.
Wow, that was a real fucking episode move.
Yeah.
Like a real show does that shit.
That's right, yeah.
It's messed up, bro.
But no, we came up with something. It's designed, like, it's in place, it's dope, and we'll talk about it later, and you can find out how to celebrate the 400th episode.
You're like a poster boy for show tactics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does take a long time to get 100 episodes in.
Yeah.
I remember like the flashback of like thinking about when we got to 100, we were talking about, you know, like, man, I remember the first like 10 episodes like took forever. And then all of a sudden you're at 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 400.
Yeah.
And
200
years, cult
sculpture made us that cool stone thing.
Yeah. 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 We've gotten, different.
Bradley Cahill.
Cahill.
Yeah. So do we have a sculpt member of the month to start with our 400th episode?
No, nobody sent us a whiskey. That's all it would have taken.
Yeah.
All it would have taken is somebody sending us a whiskey for the four, knowing that the 400th was coming on this week and nobody sent it.
Someone sent cookies and shit though.
They did. Mm-hmm. They did. All the way from South Africa.
Yep.
It was last week, but maybe they were ahead of us. They're ahead, of, us.
Yeah. It's a different time zone. They're ahead of us.
So a big congratulations to Terry Presley.
No.
I tried. I'm fucking trying here. No. But it's Nicole Schmidt-Bosch. Sculpt Member of the Month, 2021.
Yeah.
Oh, future. She's a Terminator.
She is.
Terminator.
She's from a South African prostitute Terminator.
Yeah. She specializes in hooker canoes. She makes them and sells them. She has a hooker crevice. She has a canal basically between her legs.
Where she's quite buoyant.
The hooker canoes.
She'll never drown.
I mean, it's basically
just,
like
buoyant.
You ever been to the entrance of the Pirates of the Caribbean? Like that's when she spreads her legs.
It smells like chlorine.
There's a restaurant. I mean, it's everything is there.
It's nice.
Everything you can need.
It's cozy.
And then there's fucking fireballs and pirates on the inside of this motherfucker. Basically fireballs. Parasites. So lights, cameras,
there's cannons in there and shit.
There's cannons. Yeah. There's all kinds of stolen goods from the fucking Woolworths that she shops at.
Pirate booty.
It's right around the corner.
There's corners in there? Jesus Christ.
And we couldn't have done 400 episodes without the generous and remarkable support of El Yucateco Hot Sauce.
Yes.
They've been a great partner.
All the way from the beginning.
All the way from the beginning. Nothing but love for El Yucateco for sticking through a million dick joke and things that many sponsors would run from, and embracing it and being part of the family.
And Sarah actually listens. I know she listens. So she knows about the dick joke.
Yeah.
It's not even that though.
Yeah.
It's the listeners, even if you're not a patron, even if you're not, hugely active in the community, but just going out and buying and participating and things like when we do stuff like, oh, hey, we're going to try and, a salt top ramen and the people that go above and beyond, you know, all of you guys, thank you.
Yeah.
You guys are the ones that, when we, Brent puts out a thing like, hey, El Yucateco's doing something, go fucking hit them up.
Taste test. Yeah.
Go check it out. Go do it. Go participate. And fucking hundreds of you guys go and just knock stuff out.
Right.
That's the true reason. Why they are still with us because of you guys are active and you go above and beyond, to show up and to participate. So
someone got a Teco tattoo. Finally, they're in the club now. Saw that.
Teco tattoo,
not one of ours, one of theirs.
Yeah.
So they just don't know about us yet.
Right.
Yeah.
We're next.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
So our topic
big deal.
Is the day of days. D-Day.
Minus zero, plus one, D-Day plus zero, or minus zero.
Either way, it's the same thing.
D-Day zero.
Our topic is D-Day, and I have to admit, when I was doing research on it, I was a little bit confused by the code names at first, because I've always known that it was Operation Overlord. Like that's always the term that I heard.
That's a sweet band name too.
But it is. But then looking into it, It was also called Operation Neptune, mm-hmm. but then there was also the Battle of Normandy,
right?
Which are three they're three distinctly different things. So I had to double check. So Operation Overlord was the code name for the Allied invasion of all of Western Europe. So the invasion of Western Europe was Operation Overlord.
It's like a phylum of species.
That was the, well, Overlord makes sense. That's the whole operation as a whole. Yeah.
Operation Neptune was the event of landing.
That's through the water.
On the beachhead.
Neptune is what, the god of water, right?
So, and that battle lasted from D-Day.
Ariel's father.
So June 6th until until the end of June. So it wasn't like, even though D-Day was one day, Operation Neptune wasn't considered a success until the end of June, when they fully permanently established ports and railroads and a fuel line and all kinds of
shit. They ran fucking fuel pipes under the ocean.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy. I didn't know a ton about this. You referenced it all the time and I felt like an idiot. I was like, I really don't know enough about that. I knew on Stand
There's
that fucking what's his name was like, my dad stormed the beach of Normandy. Like, you fucking went off and threw a fit, mouth from Goonies. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people know the fight at Normandy. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, that's a huge thing.
Well, is it on the Saving Private Ryan? Is that the part they show?
Yes. Yeah. That's they land on the fucking beach and just getting past
I gotta say, any of you listeners who have not seen Saving Private Ryan.
Or Saving Private Ryan's Privates.
Yeah.
No, it's Saving Ryan's Privates.
It's a fucking must. Privates. It is a must-see movie, man. It is. I remember when it came out, I was in graduate school and my roommate went with his then fiance, soon-to-be wife, soon-to-be ex-wife. time has passed. They went and saw it and came back and they're like, man, we just saw Saving Private Ryan. You've got to go see it. And I was sitting there and I was like, yeah, but you know, like, because at the time, like, war movies had all been weak, like, for years and years. I was like, it's
weak.
Well,
after Full Metal Jacket, like, I was just like,
exactly. I was like, everything's a weak sauce. I was like, it's Spielberg, it's going to be all feel good. I was like, if you tell me that this is some fucking awesome, gritty, in your nuts fucking war movie, I'll go see it tonight. And he was like, go see it tonight.
Yeah, those beach scenes,
I was like,
man.
You know, and I remember I went and saw it and the end of the beach scene, which is probably about the first 20 minutes of the movie. I rewatched it as I was researching.
It makes you appreciate the time in which you were born.
Fuck yeah.
Like,
but when I was at the movie theater, the end of the beach scene, three couples leaned over and started talking to each other and got up and left the theater.
Damn.
Cause they were like, this is the first 20 fucking minutes. Yeah. Like, I don't have 2.5 hours of this in me. And the movie keeps going. Like, the opening is especially brutal. And then towards the very end, you know, no spoilers, they're set to defend this particular thing and they're listening to music and trying to drink coffee. It's the most heartbreaking scene in the movie when Tom Hanks can't get coffee out of the broken espresso machine. But they're sitting there.
It's like Office Space in the printer.
And you know the attack is coming and all of a sudden they hear the Panzer Division coming to their location. The streets are rumbling and two more couples leaned over and talked to each other and got up and left.
Wow.
They were like 2 hours invested and they were like, I can't take another 30. Like, this is,
there was more drama in the theater than the movie.
Problem is, and that's the problem is motherfuckers are like, you have to have the appreciation for what happened.
Right.
And I don't know how close to representing what really happened that movie was, you know what I mean? Like,
I watched interviews with surviving soldiers.
Supposedly,
and they said that was pretty close or what? No, I was going to say it had to have been worse. It had to have been what that movie portrayed.
Yeah.
It was worse.
It was worse. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. And they did a really good job of
and the
showing.
Crazy part is they trained for so long. Yeah, like, man. All those guys trained for years.
Yeah.
And then within like 30 seconds, dead. They might've been dead.
Yeah.
Like, and shit.
Or you
like,
might not even have made it. You know what I mean? Like, the boats are still coming in and getting fucked
up
by U-boats
shelled,
and shit.
Like, yeah.
That door dropped down and it was just
fuck a machine. Especially
think
on
about the
that machine
Beach.
Gun could put 125 rounds per second.
Yeah.
Per second, dude. So there was like.
And what caliber was that machine gun?
I don't remember, but there were multiple guns. So it was like there were five of those guns that could shoot at 125 rounds per second. So at any given time, your fucking front of your boat was getting hit with 600 bullets per second. 12.
It's 1,250 rounds a minute. If it's,
and one of the, I watched an interview with a guy and he said that before the coxswain dropped the gate and they felt the boat hit the shore.
No, that's way more, dude.
Oh,
and
no, it's way more. Yeah. You're
way
right.
More.
My calculations.
The guy,
my calculations are wrong.
The guy piloting the boat in the back of the boat is screaming at the guy in the front of the boat to drop the fucking because we have to get these guys out. I have to turn around, sail back, like, load up again, and fucking come back. Yeah,
this seems like a ghost gun. 7,200 rounds
a minute.
A minute.
Yeah.
Per minute.
How hot's that motherfucker getting? Is it like hot,
they have to
glowing.
Swap the barrels out?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they swap the barrels out on those motherfuckers, dude. Like, they got guys there ready to change the barrel. Yeah.
There's a whole team operating the fucking machine gun.
Yeah. The part that was like just fucking terrible is I watched and this guy tells the story and they have a reenactment on this.
I've got some link. I've got about five clips from survivors talking.
Okay. It might be some of the stuff I watched. But one of the parts that just I was like, oh God, like the sheer desperation. They were told, do not jump over the side of the boat.
Right.
And they start jumping over the side of the boat and they have like 100 pounds of gear on.
Yep.
They sink to the bottom and everyone's just fucking drowning. Yeah. They're just drowning. They're make it on the fucking beach.
And I have to say, I'll post five or six clips that I saw. And I have to say, like, I'll step away from National Pride for a second because they're all from survivors of D-Day. And there's one story from a 5-year-old French kid who survives the shelling pre-D-Day, and the story that he tells about him and his mother when they see the first American soldier, like, I was fucking tearing up. Like, it was one thing to hear and it makes you realize, is what we're fucking doing here.
Because I saw what the French weren't actually that happy about us being there. Most of them were content, and they're like, you brought war to our doorstep. Like, there's this parade of fucking trucks and tanks going down the streets, and that, America's thinking, like,
I don't know how accurate
we
that
are
is, though,
to like get you from the Nazis, but they were like, it wasn't really war there, though.
But
there
the French resistant, but that was a fucking sham, though. Like, they're still living under the fucking Nazi regime, and everybody still wanted their freedom, and but ultimately, D-Day, so D-Day was the day, the Battle of Normandy, and it's they storm the beaches at Normandy, and that's the foothold, and you know, I hope to go in to talk about like the setup, like what it took to plan it, what it took to pull it off, because it's fucking crazy what they had to do, because Hitler and everybody is watching. Like, they know America's in the game now. They're stockpiling resources in England. It's a matter of time before these motherfuckers try to
they just don't know quite
we have
when.
No idea when or where.
Amazing complex where. Tactics yeah, that go crazy, into this shit.
Crazy. So the term D-Day, by the way, was actually used throughout the war. Anytime there was a placeholder. Yeah, anytime there's a major operation, D-Day is the day of the operation.
And you've explained this.
Right, and we don't know when the operation's going to happen. It's based on weather. It's based on what the enemy's doing. It's based on whether or not we got reinforcements. So
it was funny when I read it because I was like, oh, this is kind of like the origin story of Dave's fucking dating thing.
Right.
I didn't understand that, like, D-Day plus one, like, that's a real thing in practice so that you can move the next date without affecting the entire timeline.
Exactly.
Because it's a floating placeholder
date. The operation is still the same.
So you're not setting
a
date.
If you know, like, D-Day plus five, these paratroopers move to this city.
Right.
It doesn't matter what date.
So whatever date it actually happens, it's five days later.
Yeah. And then in retrospect, you'll go back and you'll say, oh, D-Day minus seven is when the general showed up, and D-Day minus three is when this happened. And
I do have to say, though, I think that for all the planning, some of their fucking shit was ass backwards.
Oh, a lot of it was.
Like, putting people on the beach without just fucking bombarding the fuck out of the fucking guns first.
Well, they bombarded the fuck out of
them. They missed them all.
Yeah, they did.
They missed every fucking one of them.
But it was they shouldn't have even done the mission because the weather was so bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of it. Like, because you keep, it's like, because even if you, like,
if
you watch
all those dudes and all those boats on standby,
if you watch,
and you already know they have the weapons,
right?
You know what I mean? You already know. So that machine gun is the MG42 and it's 1800 rounds per minute. But that's because they have to swap out the barrels and stuff. Like, so it does cut it down, but that's fucking, and it shoots a 7.62, which is a 308, which is fucking.
But when in operation, it was like 120 rounds per second.
Per second, yeah. So then once they,
for the barrel
so
swap.
The minute, the minute wise, they have to keep swapping the barrels out. Right. So it cuts, ridiculous.
So
scary. That shit's scary.
The other thing to watch, if you haven't seen it, even though it doesn't really focus on D-Day exclusively, but the first couple episodes are about D-Day, is Band of Brothers on HBO.
Oh, that's a great show.
Amazing. Yeah. Band of Brothers is true. Band of Brothers, what's his name? Ambrose. It's either his first name or his last name. The guy wrote the book. He went around and his thought was, these guys are getting older. These guys are dying. And his job was, he wanted to go around and interview everybody from the 101st Airborne that was still alive and that was willing to talk and record their conversations and say, look, tell us your story, like, before your story goes away. And he listened to all these people tell the stories. And then he writes sort of a novel-ish telling of what happened, but it's based entirely on the facts. And then Spielberg and Tom Hanks ended up producing it for HBO, and they put out the movie or the TV show. And the TV show is amazing because you'll see all the events happen in the episode. And then at the end of the episode, you'll see the survivors talking about, like, yeah. And when that guy died, like, I remember this, like it was yesterday. And like all the shit in there is real.
And they fucking cry, you know, guys, fucking grown old 70, you know, 80 year old.
Do you think a large proportion of them got to see the final production? Yeah. Of that show?
Probably not a large proportion because it didn't come out.
Some of them died. Some of them died. They say like at the end of certain episodes, like they're like fucking.
Oh yeah. Thank you. I remember. Dedicated to.
But I remember watching that and thinking, you know, they misjumped, like they didn't hit their targets. And it's like, you trained for years to do this. Like what the fuck? And like the planes weren't bombing the right location, but it's because it was a fucking storm. And
there was cloud cover. I watched that mathematically. Yeah. Like they told them, if they drop early, they're going to land on the fucking ships, right? They're going to hit the battleships in the ocean.
Yeah.
And if they drop slightly too early, it's going to hit the people on the fucking beach, which was, I was like, they should have done that first. They should have just fucking bombarded the fuck out of that and shelled the fucking beach from all the battleships and then sent the ground infantry in. But they didn't do it in that order.
Yeah.
They fucking did the fucking Neptune and put the people on the landing. And then fucking like reinforcement ship showed up a little bit later to fucking do that. And then the fucking planes
came by. Idea was they were sending,
the planes were bombing after
they were
guys
sending
went in.
A smaller, they sent a smaller force to take the beachheads.
Right.
Because the ships were going to get fucking like everything was going to get their ass eaten by the Nazis. Like we need to capture these beaches. We need to send in enough men to capture
it. Maybe it was more stealth.
Surprise, like it was just catch them off guard and take it, because otherwise they have guns that are going to shoot down all of our reinforcements. Yeah. No one's getting through the channel. Like we have to fucking
fuck am I? I'm sitting here eating cookies, telling this fucking general what he should have done. Right.
So 2 years of planning and training.
And before you move on, I want to give a shout out to Jeff Adamek, who does a podcast, Lessons in Leadership. He did the Band of Brothers series.
Oh, nice.
So you can check that out.
Yeah, you were on an episode.
Yeah, I was on an episode. Because, I mean, going back, and I watched Band of Brothers when it was
on HBO.
He's a real
jerk, though. He confused the fuck out of us.
Yeah, he did.
He called you Brent on the episode or something?
Yeah.
That's some bullshit. Yeah. Jeff, thanks
for
nothing.
He cut it out. Yeah. He's fucking a douchebag. But anyway, I'm being a nice guy, you know?
Yeah.
As I am. So go check it out. It's on iTunes. You can look up Lessons in Leadership.
I'll have to check
it out. It is one of our listeners, Jeff Adamek, who lives in... He's living in Canada.
He's handsome as fuck, as much as I hate to say it.
Is he? He was special forces. He was in the military.
Yeah, he was.
He was also special ed.
Yeah. And he watches what you do at home, too.
So
through the TV. Yeah.
The main...
On Facebook.
The main launch on D-Day was the United Kingdom, the United States, and Canada. Like, we were the three largest forces that stormed the beach. But there was troops from Australia... Belgium,
allegedly,
Czechoslovakia, Denmark, France, Greece.
There was a troop from Australia.
Okay. The Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, and Poland were all involved in the attack. And
Australians just sold cookies.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they called them biscuits.
Yeah. Boy Scout biscuits.
Within hours.
Bush Scout biscuits.
This is the thing that blows. Yeah.
The Bush Scouts. That's what they call them there.
Yeah.
This is the thing that blows my mind about World War II is the sheer fucking scale of what you're talking about. Like any modern war that is occurring is it is dwarfed by the events of
it's also not possible anymore, like, because a buildup of that type of force would be seen on satellite immediately. True. There's no way to keep it secret. You can't do that type of invasion. They would know away, and there would be submarines blowing everybody up. It would just never happen now.
So
it's more stealthy now.
Yeah.
It's very much more stealthy.
Within hours of the launch on June 6th, so on the morning of June 5th, based on the weather reports, General Dwight D. Eisenhower, who's the supreme Allied commander of all the forces.
He put the D in Eisenhower.
He did. Yeah. He said, okay, we'll go. So that morning, 3,000 landing craft, 2,500 ships, 500 full naval war vessels all headed to France through the English
Channel. On that word, like, okay, I guess we'll go tomorrow.
Yeah. 160,000 troops in one day crossed the channel. The Allied Air Force on D-Day flew 14,600 missions.
Yeah. On D-Day?
Yes.
Yeah, 14,000. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's a lot. So
That's a lot.
And yet they missed, though. Well, the paratroopers landed in the wrong spot. The beachhead didn't get bombed.
Yeah, but I mean, think about how many planes
other strategic targets, though. Like, they were successful at, like, I think, like, fuel and some, like, manufacturing facilities and some airfields.
But that was the other thing. Like, a lot of the bombing wasn't intended to soften the beach. The bombing was intended to stop the Nazis from reinforcing the fact that we took the beach.
Yeah.
We need to take the beach. We need to hold the beach.
Right.
So the paratroopers weren't landing to help the beach. They were landing behind the beach and making sure that anti-aircraft guns were disabled. They were making sure that the reserve Nazi troops couldn't get to the beach. Like,
yeah, causing problems.
The job was to, and even the OES, like, stopped the second Panzer Division.
Can you imagine being that paratrooper that fell behind, like, in the wrong spot, though?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck.
The entire 101st Airborne did.
I'm 20 miles away from where the fuck we're supposed to be.
Yeah. Right.
Behind enemy lines with a fucking, like, granola bar or some bullshit.
And it's like
in my
you
pocket.
And three other dudes who an happened apple. To land in, like, or your plane.
Yeah,
really. I mean, there would have been dozens
everybody
of planes.
You're kind of peppered in the same area. Right. Yeah.
Did you see the thing about how big of a role seasickness played?
No.
It's in the documentary that I watched. Like, so they gave them a fucking feast. Like, everybody that was on the invasion, they fed them like fucking kings right before. And this one guy that fucking lived is telling a story that he skipped it and had like a fucking candy bar or some shit. But they had like sausages and steaks and all this fucking shit. They all ate a fucking huge meal and then took off, and they got super fucking seasick, and they were all just throwing up in those fucking boats. They had nerves. They're already nervous, so they're just shitting their meal, fucking puking all over each other. They're trying to bail water with their helmets that are full of puke and having to put it back on their head so they don't get fucking shot.
Yeah,
terrible. And that being seasick changes everything.
Yeah.
Like your reaction time, your fucking agility. You don't fucking feel good. Terrible.
Yeah.
It couldn't get worse.
Yeah.
Like, think how bad you feel when you have the fucking flu.
Yeah.
And now you need to fight for your life and try to get out of a fucking boat, and you have vomit water on your fucking head and your helmet.
Yeah.
Like, you can't come up with a worse scenario.
No. No.
No, you can. No. Dead.
Yeah, that's true. That is a slightly worse scenario.
Maybe not.
So,
you know what I mean?
In France, the Nazis had, and again, I think this is why the bombs weren't targeting the beaches and why the paratroopers weren't targeting the beaches. The Nazis had 50 divisions in France, and then 18 stationed in Denmark and Norway that could come to the aid of France. And I was like, okay, I don't know what that means. What does 68 divisions mean? The Nazis counted their divisions at 15,000 troops for division, which means there was 1,020,000 Nazi troops in and around France ready to come in and stomp a mud hole in Normandy and take it back.
God damn.
So the bulk of the planning was, how do we keep those motherfuckers from undoing what we just did?
Yeah.
And that's why.
Because you're going to lose a lot of motherfuckers going in.
Christ.
You already know that. Almost seems like a sacrifice thing. You know what I mean? Like, hey, focus them on the beach.
Yeah.
You see the interviews and they're like, we didn't think we were coming back. Yeah. Like, they just knew that it needed to be done.
No.
Not for the U.S., not for anything, for the world.
And
this needs to happen.
I've seen interviews with people who were in, and it was the plan in the beginning, like, you're hitting the beach on D-Day plus one. And they said that they were just sitting in England listening to intelligence reports.
Everybody dying.
And they were just sick to their stomach with guilt because they weren't there. Like, we're coming tomorrow.
Right.
Like, I'm the pussy that's landing after you.
Like, I've got fresh ammo and fucking all my homeboys are with me, and you've already taken the beach, and we show up to relieve your dead, wounded asses.
There was a story this old man tells about being on the beach, and he, like, I mean, he remembered this. There was a kid that lied to get into the military, and he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And he was on the fucking first launch.
Ride.
And he saw him get killed, and he's like, he knew that kid's first, middle name, last, fucking blue eyes, dude. He was like a picture in front of me. I remember him dying, like right in front of me. Like, God, dude.
Right.
I don't even like watch scary movies. Those motherfuckers had to see the most terrible things. They're best friends. Dudes they had been with for 4 years and trained side by side, just fucking boom, gone. Immediately gone. Right next to him, gone.
In a split second.
Yeah.
Doors open.
Buzzsaw cut him in half.
Yeah, exactly. And especially on Omaha Beach, which was where those machine guns were, and it was the most dangerous. Like, those first landing craft.
Yeah.
Like, one of the stats that I read said that something like 10% of the troops in the first landing craft actually made it to cover on the beach. Oof. That's your whole squad. You trained with them like 10%. I mean, and how many fit in one of those boats? 20 dudes, 30 dudes.
Yeah.
So two or three, you made it to fucking cover.
And, and that's what they were talking about. That's
if
one
your
of
boat's
the,
lucky.
One of the major factors of the guy that say lived is because he didn't eat. He didn't eat that food before he left. And then he was one of the guys that jumped over and sunk to the fucking bottom.
Right.
And he pulled off his fucking, like, his vest and all his shit and just fucking radio dropped it all, crawled onto the fucking beach. And just like a series of fortunate events, he fucking kept missing it.
But I also remember
and that probably happened to everybody who did make it. A series of fortunate events happened. Yeah.
Well, and think about it too. 10% of those motherfuckers made it, and then there were obstacles. There's guns are still shooting at your ass. They're from a fucking an elevated point
just to the beach,
and then there's 17,000 mines. There's 1,000 feet to the gunners to where they need to get at an elevated position, and there were 17,000 mines in front of them that they had to make it through on that small part of the beach to try to get to the fucking guns.
Yeah. Right.
Crazy, dude. That's
what I'm saying. That was where the Bangalores came in, because you would have to team up, get an explosives expert to throw a big pipe full of bombs into the mines, detonate it, blow up a trail. So as you're doing that, the Nazis are like, oh, look, they're blowing up the trail right there. Like, that's where they're coming.
That's why minefield, that's why the minefield game's Dave's favorite.
Maybe.
Yeah, Minesweeper.
Minesweeper.
So, and I even remember like years ago, and I was disappointed because years ago, I remember reading online, someone was talking shit because they said that when you watch Saving Private Ryan, the defenses on the beach, like those big metal, like X's that everyone's taking cover behind, those are there to stop tanks from storming the beach. So the Nazis, they weren't there so the allies had cover. They were there so that, so you couldn't get craft onto the beach. Yeah. And they were talking shit because they're backwards in the movie.
Yeah.
Like they weren't placed facing the right direction. And I remember reading online, someone was like, that was a huge fuck up. But when I was doing research, they said on Omaha Beach, the Nazis fucked up and placed all their emplacements backwards.
Yeah. It's supposed to be fuck those guys. Exactly. I think they fucking know everything.
Spielberg knew that they were backwards on Omaha Beach. There was the Atlantic Wall, which was led by Rommel, and it was 2,400 miles of bunkers, landmines, and beach, and they had planted 4 million landmines on the beaches of Normandy.
I mean, 17,000 landmines seems like a lot. 17,000.
Yes.
That number seems fucking impossible.
It seems like, you know what it reminds
me
of?
You know what I mean? Like,
but when you're talking about 165,000 troops landing on the beach in one day, you need 17,000 mines.
Yeah, for sure.
You know when they have the mouse traps and they throw the ping pong ball thing? That's what it reminds me of. Like, if you fuck up setting those mines, it's just going to be like, boom, and the dude's going to land on that mine. It's going to be like, boom, he's going to go back onto that part. He's just going to start setting those mines off.
Fuck.
So part of the prep to this massive thing, which, and I knew a little bit of this, but I didn't know exactly how much was done, was a thing called Operation Bodyguard. And Operation Bodyguard was the 2 year long systematic deception that they used to convince the Nazis that they weren't going to land on Normandy and that they were going to land later in the summer, because surprise had to be an element. And it was a major element. The field marshal over the entire war,
if this was
took
their
a
surprise.
Vacation at the moment of the attack because of how perfectly timed it was.
Yeah, but if this was the surprise, think about what not surprising them would have been.
Yeah.
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 They would have just been toast.
10% made it on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think about it. Well, and that was under the
that
surprise.
That beach wasn't even fortified, but whoever that super strategic general was, I can't think of his name right now, the Nazi general, saw that the beach resembled the same beach that another attack that they had, the Germans had lost in Italy on a different beach. And it was the same front, the same shape. So he fortified that coincidentally and went through and put all that fucking shit in there.
Right.
Thinking that that might be an entry point, even though it wasn't. There's another spot they tried to trick him and make him think they're going because it was the shortest passage across the channel,
right,
which is super fucking cool because they have inflatable tanks and shit.
Yeah,
super.
Yeah, and that's part of the bodyguard thing.
One of the craziest things I saw was they needed intel on, like, you know, where are the troops setting up, and the French resistance, like just normal people, were doing super cool stuff. There was an artist that was painting landscapes and scenery, but he was actually like putting little sneaky symbols and things that represented things into the landscape paintings and then like selling them or shipping them to the people that needed the intel. And they would look at these paintings that just look like landscapes, but they could tell, oh, there's troops here.
Right.
It's signed this date or something. So that's how many troops are fucking there. And this symbol means that. Just looked like he was painting.
Another intel thing that they did, and it was actually the BBC came up with it. They started to send out, They announced that they needed postcards.
Oh, yeah.
So they made an announcement. So everybody in and around France was just taking postcards of their area and mailing them to friendly countries where they could get mail out. And then once they got to that country, they would mail them to the UK because they didn't have very much recon.
There's a picture of an area.
Yeah. So you've got a picture of this beach where there's a resort and now you have intel. Like, right. Oh, that's where that resort is.
Yeah.
We have an aerial photo of that resort. So this is what that beach looks like. Fuck that beach. We're not storming that one.
Yeah.
You know, so, but just all kinds of stuff. So, the Operation Bodyguard was again to get the Germans to believe that the attack was coming somewhere else, because they had no idea where it was going to come. A lot of people thought it was going to come in an area called Pass de Calais.
That's where the shortest point was, right? The shortest passage across. Yeah.
But some people thought that it was going to be in southern France, in Norway. A lot of people thought that the big Allied push was going to come from the Soviet front. Yeah. So you literally have no idea where the foothold is going to come. And it's object, you know, the objective here is to make it, they wanted to make it appear that Pass de Calais was the actual objective.
Did you see that they employed a magician?
No.
So, fuck, I wish I knew more about it. It was like brief, but there was a magician that wanted to help out with the war. And he was like, if I can deceive people up close with cards and shit, I can absolutely deceive people from a distance. So they made a super like elite crew that they called like the magic something. And one of the guys was a magician. One of them was like electrical engineer. One of them was explosives technician. They had prop builders and like set designers and shit. Mm-hmm. And that's where the ideas came from for the inflatable tanks. So they would take bunch of Jeeps that look like Jeeps and then put tanks on them, like these like fucking cardboard tank bodies that look like tanks from a
made
distance.
Them look like tanks,
and then they took all the tanks and put like these Jeep things on them. So they fucking look like a big Jeep. And so they confused like, oh, the tanks are really over here. The Jeeps are really over there.
Right.
Then they had inflatable tanks, giant inflatable aircraft. Mm-hmm. They had inflatable fucking just vehicles, all kinds of fucking different things. Yeah. And they were just air up. Like the two guys would get under the tank and start running. Yeah. And it would move the fucking tank around and shit. So it looked like there was this huge fortified built up presence of artillery and whatnot. And it was just inflatable. So they're like, ooh, it's happening over here. And it didn't cost them anything because it's fucking glue and canvas or something that they're making that shit.
And I forget the name of it. I think they called it the First Army. Like, because there were
multiple.
Well,
that came from a magician.
Right, but there were multiple. Like, the Second Army, the Third Army were all engaged in different areas, but they acted like the U.S. First Army was in Northern England, and they moved Patton there. Because he was fucking super famous general and he had a loud fucking mouth. So the Nazis knew he was up there and he's not going to be up there doing nothing.
He's just sitting
there. They had all this inflatable shit, all this stuff. So they fully thought there was an entire army.
It's like the North Korea
army. Where there
was
nothing up there.
And then they had whole scripted radio chatter crews that were like, hey, be on this channel. None of this shit's fucking real on this channel. Yeah. And they're just saying like troop movements and all that shit back and forth and letting them intercept the messages. And none of it's real. But they're doing like daily scheduled routine. Yeah. The shit seems real.
And then part of the goal wasn't just to make them think that they were going to be moving to Pass de Calais, but they wanted to make sure that the Nazis stayed there 14 days after D-Day. They wanted it even with the D-Day attack, they wanted enough false intelligence around to think that wasn't the main attack for us. Well, the main attack force is still waiting.
Yeah, it could be like, oh, we're going to storm this way, but then as soon as they put everything this way, we're going to come in from the back.
So that's what they wanted
them to
think.
The magician. Like, the magician came up. That's like the sleight of hand. Like, look over here, but I'm doing something here.
Right.
That's exactly what happened.
So some of the other tools, the British had what they called the XX system, which was the double cross system. And this was a statistic that blew my fucking mind. So MI5, the British intelligence agency, was so fucking effective that they got every single German spy in England had been captured or turned as a double agent before D-Day.
How do you know that they're really turned? You know what I mean? You got to trust.
Well, then you'd be a triple agent or whatever. But even if you said 80%.
Right.
But they honestly believed, and historians agree, that all of the German agents in fucking London were completely double captured agents or turned. And they called it the double cross system of MI5. They had a guy named Juan Pujol Garcia, who was a Spanish opponent of the Nazis, and he went by the nickname Garbo. And Spain was neutral but leaning towards the Nazis. And he was there, and he developed for 2 years, he built up fake informants That trusted him. And he basically gave away the Allied commanders would give Garbo real intelligence. Like, we're going to bomb this city on the 3rd. Let the Nazis know.
And then do it.
And so then that, do it.
Yeah.
And then those fucking airmen would just get their asses chewed up because we need Garbo to be believable
right.
for when he gives them false information about. So
let him win a couple horse yeah, races and then
let him kill yeah. a couple yeah. thousand dudes. Like, that's because fucking just the math of this war yeah. is mind blowing. So, in the months preceding D-Day, he sends hundreds of messages to his superiors in Madrid that basically say the attacks are coming in July from the first army led by Patton in Calais. So now they're thinking it's July. It's this different location. Even this guy who we fully fucking trust
yeah,
has gotten information that says this stuff. Yeah. Then they had two different things, a thing called Fortitude North, which was fucking with Scandinavia, and Fortitude South, which was doing South England. It was South England. They're the ones who had the first army group with General Patton and yeah. all that stuff. They had a thing called Operation Copperhead, which is fucking crazy. So the most famous of the British generals was General Montgomery, and mm-hmm. he and General Patton had like a rivalry and all this stuff. But General Montgomery was super famous.
Is that the guy that looked like the actor?
Yeah,
whatever?
There was an yeah. actor who looked almost exactly like General Montgomery, just a famous screen actor. Mm-hmm. So they sent him to the Mediterranean with a whole bunch of people. So everyone was getting reports Montgomery's on vacation, or he's scouting out other yeah. sites, or he's doing something.
Some dusty road ship, Brad.
Like, they're not attacking right now yeah. because Montgomery would be in England if they yeah. were attacking right now, but it was just a fucking fake. Right. Yeah. The
body doubles
pure yep. country all the way.
They also, yeah, they had fake, they found beaches that looked a lot like the beaches in Calais and started doing practice, really obvious practice invasions of those beaches all throughout England so that spies would see, look, this beach looks exactly like that beach. That's what they're practicing for. So that was another just fucking, yeah. again, a 2-year fucking setup.
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
To this punchline.
It seems like with all this setup though, like the fucking, it worked, but it didn't succeed as well as I think they thought it was going to probably.
Like, I don't know. I wonder if it succeeded better than they thought it would. Like, the fact
maybe
that it succeeded
seems like
10%
of the guys making it on the shores. Fuck.
That was just the first launch on one beach.
But I know, but
I don't think
sad.
They anticipated that many casualties on that launch. You know what yeah. I mean? And then there was cloud cover, you know, and they missed all their bombing. They dropped 5,000 pounds of fucking bombs on there and then didn't hit any of the fucking gun
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
The fucking tanks that were like surrounded by canvas that had the propellers that could go fucking amphibious in the mm-hmm. water. There was like 37 of those.
Double D tanks.
Yeah, like 37 of those got put in the water, but there were 6-foot fucking waves and right. the canvas didn't hold it and it just started water yeah. went in the tank and it fucking sunk like
but again, that
32 of those tanks.
Yeah. That wasn't part of faulty planning though, because part of the whole thing deals with the meteorology and the
weather
weather played a huge role because the weather, horrible weather was forecast for 2 weeks. And basically the plan was
rough and the tiny ship was tossed.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, D-Day would have been lost.
Exactly. There you go. You couldn't help it, but finish that shit.
So there were horrible weather for 2 weeks.
Like Gilligan's Island?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone knew it was going to be horrible weather, but the plan was whatever day the weather is least horrible is the day that we do this. And the weather was forecast to be so bad that Field Marshal Rommel left. He went to a wedding back in fucking Germany. Everybody was like, attacking right yeah. now. The weather is fucking garbage. And they basically looked and they said, you know what? On the 6th, the weather is going to be as good as it gets for us to still pull something off and the Nazis to completely be unexpecting an attack.
Right.
So the reason that so many fucking tanks sank, the reason that the fucking, because they shouldn't have gone right. anyway. Like, the weather yeah. was bad enough.
But on the flip side, the same reason that they may have been successful is because it wasn't not anticipated right. that they would even try.
Right. Yeah. So they end up, and my other favorite thing was they took hundreds or thousands of fake dummy paratroopers.
I saw that.
That they dropped west of Normandy. So they ended up,
and some of them were bombs too, though, I think. There was exploding paratroopers. Yeah.
Right, so you had tons of paratroopers being dropped like far away. So fake a bunch ones. Of they Nazis think, oh, shit, were like, oh, fuck, get over there. So that they just sent yeah. forces to stop these right. other paratroopers. And then they get there
there's
and it's
just dummies.
A bunch of fucking dummies.
They did that shit to
us,
though.
Dummies.
Yeah. You see the thing where the guys try to climb the fucking cliff?
Yeah.
That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
There's a whole, I watched a whole documentary on just those guys.
Yeah.
Trying to climb that fucking cliff.
So the recon leading up to it.
It was a cliffhanger.
It was. The recon leading up to it, they took 3,200, they flew 3,200 sorties of photo recon.
What's sortie?
A flight mission. Oh. So 3,200 flights were done to take pictures.
Is that a common term? Those, should I have known that? Sorties?
I don't know. It's a military term.
Because you're a war buff.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But so each one of those flights was people getting shot at, planes getting fucking shot down. Like, you're probably doing it during a bombing anyway, because you have to mask what you're doing. Like, it can't look like we're here taking pictures of the Normandy beach. It has to look like we're doing something else.
Yeah.
And they also had photo planes all over the place, so that they would say, look, that was a photo plane and it was in Norway.
There's also one over here.
Right. There's also
there.
One. So there was just like everywhere. So they
were isolating one specific area.
So and then of course, Bletchley Park cracking the Enigma code. None of it would have happened if we couldn't have cracked the Enigma code. And we talk about all that in the
Enigma code,
probably called it that, yeah.
I think we called it the Enigma.
Did we do
episode?
The Enigma?
We called it Benjamin Cumberbatch.
Benjamin Franklin.
Because I know we did one on Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And we did one on
Did we do
Turing.
Oppenheimer?
Yeah, we did Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
and we did Turing.
Turing.
Did we do
Oh, maybe it's just Alan Turing.
Enigma, or did we just do Turing?
Alan Turing.
Either way.
I think it was Alan Turing.
I know we did Alan Turing, but I don't know if we did Enigma.
I'm thinking we're getting confused. I think
the other thing is they found a rehearsal city that had a beach as similar to the beach in Normandy as they could find in England, and they would do sample invasions there. A friendly fire incident in April of 1944 killed 450 people.
What?
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck? Friendly bombing, not friendly fire.
Bombing, yeah. So a training thing went wrong. 450 people died. The other thing was, the day after that, they were doing a thing called Exercise Tiger.
Uppercut.
Uppercut. So Exercise Tiger was a plan where they were just practicing the landing. So a bunch of U.S. troops went out in the proper type of landing craft, et cetera, and then practiced landing on the beach. But they got out there in their boats, and some German U-boats were like, hey, look at all these. And they fucking killed 750
just
U.S.
practicing.
Soldiers practicing to land on the beach because the U-boats sniffed them out. Exactly.
There's where no on the beach? What beach though? Like, in what territory was that? Like,
right,
I mean,
it was near the beach.
Right near the beach. It's, I guess, it was it's not town an act of war. You were in war.
It was the town of Slapton in Devon, whatever the fuck.
There are military troops moving on land that you know they were patrolling. So.
Right. So then the invasion itself happens, and we've got the different beaches. So there's Utah Beach. There's Omaha Beach, there's Sword, Juno, Gold, and then the French Cliffs that didn't have a clever title.
The Poupon Cliffs.
The Poupon Cliffs, yes. Exactly. So Omaha and Utah were primarily American forces, and Juno, Gold, and Sword were primarily Canadian forces, but then they were both mixed with British forces as well.
Yeah.
So, and that way, U.S. generals training the U.S. troops with a handful of Brits could plan for these beaches, and the Canadians could plan for the mm-hmm. other beaches. But Utah was
the Canadians stormed the beaches like free healthcare.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Poutine,
hey guys, poutine.
So Utah Beach, they
maple syrup. Anyone
met light resistance. There were fewer than 200 casualties in Utah Beach. So good on you if you got picked for Utah Beach.
You had to be Canadian though, right?
Like, no, Utah was American.
Oh,
Utah
it seemed like
American.
That would have been a better entry point, but they don't know the intel. Like, should have gone there and then
they
had to take
a hard right
way
though.
More territory than just that one little beach section.
Right.
Like, we have to capture a significant.
Yeah, maybe
chunk.
They could have flanked them or something though.
Well, that was the whole point.
So good.
That's
yeah.
the whole point. Yeah. So the 4th Infantry Division hits it. Light resistance. Their goal was, they knew it was going to be an easier hit on the beach. So their goal was that they had to push farther inland to stop the Nazis from flanking the other beaches.
Yeah.
But they didn't get back as far as they wanted to, but they did make contact with the 101st Airborne, who was all fucking scattered all over the place.
Right.
And only 10%. Because the 101st Airborne was supposed to back up Utah, and only 10% of the paratroopers made their drop zone because of the fucking weather.
Yeah.
And the clusterfuck. The other thing to keep in mind is that this is the first time people were like, oh, you know what we should do? We should just send motherfuckers to jump out of planes.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we should do. Like, if we need to get them there, they just jump out of a plane. Like, even though everybody's shooting.
They were the first.
And they were the first paratroopers ever. Yeah. And even guys that just I saw get interviewed.
Targets up there, yeah.
Like, a lot of the people who I saw get interviewed, some of them said, I thought they were joking about the fact that we were supposed to jump out of planes. I think they were just trying to make it sound like what we had to do was tough. But the fact of the matter is that we were going to get paid twice as much as everybody else. Yeah. So I signed
up. They took the job. Wow.
Did you see the use of carrier pigeons? They were sending the French resistance was sending secret intel stuff via pigeons, mm-hmm. and they could make it from where they were at to London in 4 hours.
That was a huge thing. Yeah, the pigeons were, they used them a lot.
So like if the Germans saw pigeons, they were just fucking shooting them down, trying to get the fucking notes and shit. Bad Some of that was pigeons. Probably planned again too.
So Point Du Hoc, which was the other one.
Du Hoc Mish.
That's right.
Du Hoc Mish.
Second Ranger Battalion, and the Rangers were hardcore because they had to land and scale 100-foot cliff with ropes and ladders while being shot at to destroy the gun battery located on the top of the cliff.
No one said they're at the edge of the earth right there.
Right.
It was the flat earth.
Yeah.
The wall.
That's right. So they get there, they scale the cliff. They're just getting fucking picked off by Nazis at the top of the hill, just shooting them in the fucking head. But they end up getting to the top and they get there and find out that the weapons had all been moved.
Yeah.
Or that they weren't there at all. Yeah. It was just like three, like, I don't know, they said like telephone poles, like stacked or something
to make it look like
camo shit over. There just was no gun because it would have been heavy gunnery. Right. And it was just like these metal poles or something in a crisscross. Mm-hmm. And they were super fucking sad.
They weren't the only ones tricking people.
Right.
And that was like the elite guys. That was like the SEALs of the day. Yeah. But they straight up had like just fucking old school rope. And they actually showed on the documentary, they had these mortar. What's it called? The grappling hooks, like mortar launched grappling hooks that could shoot those fucking grappling hook ropes all the way on the top of the thing. But what happened was they were in the boat for fucking 4 hours. So it got covered in water.
Right.
And the weight of the rope was like 8 times greater than it would have been. And so they recreated it and showed what would happen. And he shoots the first one.
Didn't go
anywhere. Boom. And it goes way the fuck up on this cliff. That's approximately the same size as the cliff they're dealing with.
Right.
And then he goes with a bucket of water and just pours it all over the pile of rope and then tries to launch it. And it's all punk.
Yeah.
And it's like lands like 20 feet away.
Yeah, I won't shoot.
And so eventually they had enough dry rope that was in some package, like that was closed and protected, that they got ropes up there. But the one guy's a badass. This little old man, he's like, it probably took me 20 seconds to get up that cliff. Like he fucking climbed that rope like fucking Batman or some shit.
100 foot ain't bad, yeah. But rope climbing, that'd be hard. But if that's what you trained to do, though.
Yeah.
Was this the, did you guys see the movie about the pacifist, the World War II pacifist who became a medic?
Mm-hmm. No.
I can't remember.
Sounds shitty.
It's fucking really good movie. It was a Clint Eastwood directed it.
Oh yeah.
And it was,
he didn't want to hurt people. Then he started fixing people.
Yeah. It's a, and it's Nobody a true, it's a true one. Story of it's this fucking of guy. And he was a fucking, whatever you call it.
John Wick's brother.
He just saved 130 lives instead.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And like everybody hated him and they were like, you're in our platoon and you're not even fucking carry a gun. Like what fucking good are you? And it might've been these cliffs. Cause the thing that made everybody realize he was a badass was he scaled the cliffs along with everybody else with no fucking weapon
and saved him when they got
and
shot.
And he climbed up and there was no cover and people were just dropping like flies and he was just fucking running and grabbing them and pulling them back to cover one after the other, getting shot at fucking
it was
Tom Wick. And it might have been this cliff. If not, it was a very similar cliff, but it's another fucking badass. So Omaha Beach was the fucking shit show.
That wasn't real.
It was where everybody fucking got their asses handed to them. By noon of that day, the artillery toll and everything else made the Germans back off. But by noon of that day, an estimated 2,000 men had died trying to take a very short stretch of beach. The Gold Beach was easier. The DD floating tanks actually were able to land. So they had tanks on the beach, which made a massive fucking difference.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Those tanks were super cool when you saw them in like a fucking river being tested, but it just didn't make it in the ocean.
Right.
Some of them, the ocean sucks compared to a river.
They had a bunch of crazy modified tanks. They had all kinds of tanks, but the boat ones were pretty cool. Like, they just looked like some bullshit, and then all of a sudden that canvas thing dropped down and it's a fucking tank. It looked like it was a transport boat of some sort with some guys standing in there, but then when the thing dropped down, like, it was like a curtain, basically. And when that dropped down, you're like, oh fuck, it's a tank.
It was literally just
buoyantly fucking floating and had these little propellers that popped up in the back and pushed it through.
So from what I read, Gold and Juno were both fairly easy to take. The Canadians didn't have much resistance, kind of like Utah Beach was for the Americans.
Well, I think that's where Normandy got its, you know, that was the shit show.
Right.
You know, the whole scenario, you know, everything else worked out.
And Sword went poorly, the Sword Beach, but that was because even though the tanks made landfall there, the 21st Panzer Division launched a counterattack and just fucking ate their
asses. They just happened to be there.
And almost made them completely lose the beachhead, but the other sides from the other two Canadian beaches swooped in.
Just sucked their dicks, just ate their asses.
That's right.
They poured syrup on the other Germans and made them really slow.
That's right. The other thing that I read about, and I'd never heard of this before, was they had things called Liberty ships. And Liberty ships were just basically churned out cheap ass bullshit ships that were used to transport everybody to England. They weren't war worthy. Like, they were just get everybody to England, like get supplies, get food. Like they were responsible for transporting 7 million tons of, food and fuel from America. 7 million tons from America over 2 years from America to England for this battle. It took 7 million tons of shit. And I'm trying to remember because the amount of ammo that they had was equally staggering. So they had all these ships there. And the other thing they realized is the storms are going to be bad. So they sent in a line of 32 Liberty ships ahead of the assault, and they scuttled themselves to make a breakwater. So they halfway scuttled. So these ships are now touching the ground, but they're breaking the waves on the other side. And they all had anti-aircraft guns mounted on the decks. So the entire crew's abandoned except for the group on top firing anti-aircraft guns, getting their asses eaten by the Nazi guns. But 32 of these ships scuttled themselves in a line.
They've eaten ass or something.
So that waves couldn't fuck up the landing ships, and so they could shoot down aircraft that were coming into the area. I guess that would break the waves a little bit, right?
Yeah.
32 big ass fucking ships.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You think they would just kind of rise up, the wave would roll under it, and they would keep moving on, but... I suppose it would mess up the wave for sure.
Right. Yeah. So the end numbers, by the end of June, the Allies had seized Cherbourg, which was a crucial port. And at the end of that month, they had 850,000 men and 150,000 vehicles in Normandy because they were able to do this on D-Day. I mean, 850,000. Like, odds are, like, unless you live in a major metropolitan region, consider 850,000 people being in your city right now.
All of a sudden.
In the course of the next month, 850,000 people and 150,000 military
vehicles. Which one is it? I still don't remember.
All of a sudden?
Yeah, or all of the sudden.
We looked it up, and apparently it was a regional thing that was even...
Split. All of the sudden doesn't make any sense.
Though. No, it doesn't.
And then what's Nick Vianaccio's wife? I can't remember her name anymore, but she always gets me for set or sat. I do something like I sat there instead of I set there. I don't even know what I'm doing wrong.
Bailey.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's her name. I just remember Nick. Yeah.
Oh, all of the sudden you just remember.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, yeah.
Sounded familiar.
I don't know, pancake titties.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Fury stacks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fury stack
Nick,
of pancakes.
Nick Vianaccio's.
Trying to find this ammo number because it blew my mind, but I'm not finding it.
The tonnage.
These headphones are killing the ammo.
Anyway, 70, so the,
70 billion tons.
That's exactly what it was. 70 billion tons of
that
ammo.
That is a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So, a lot of from D-Day until the 21st of August, 2 million allies moved through the beaches of Normandy into Europe. And so between in the Battle of Normandy, which was from June until August, the Americans suffered 125,000 casualties. The Canadians and the British armies suffered 83,000 casualties.
Casualty doesn't necessarily mean death, huh?
No, that's true.
That's a problem for me. Like, I take that as death.
So they're taken out of combat.
Out of service.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay.
Casualty of
125,000 casualties with 20,000 killed from Americans in those couple of there months.
But doesn't it generally mean death? Like, you're like, oh, 32 does. Casualties.
It kind of does.
I think in the military, you just use it as this
in the
troop
military,
is,
though,
this
but
troop
if it
is
was
no
like
longer in the field.
A plane crash and there were 32 casualties. That would be dead deaths. People.
Yes. Yeah.
But in war, it's not. It's just removed from service.
Right.
Casualty of
you're
war.
Dead, you're dead it's, to me.
Yeah, you're dead to me. Yeah.
Okay.
You're no longer in service.
Like, you're no longer a plus.
You have a red tag.
Yeah, exactly. And you might heal and come back and fight. But
be
until
another
then,
casualty later.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But until then, that doesn't help us. So the Canadians had 83,000 casualties, with 16,000 killed.
Kiln.
The Allies throughout this entire, so from June to August, they flew 480,000 missions. The Air Force did 480,000 missions in 3 months.
That's not bad.
That's a lot of dead good. Dinosaurs.
Fuck.
That's a lot of gas.
They lost 4,000 aircraft, 16,000 airmen. The Germans were thought to have deaths, 158,000 deaths between D-Day and August.
See, it's this kind of stuff that makes me think they can't possibly have had the Glock, like the Bell, and be able to fucking travel through time and have some kind of crazy occult fucking item that some Indiana Jones arc, like all this crazy thing. They say they had all this technology that was like they had flying saucers and all this stuff, but yet then they lose. I don't think they would lose. You know what I mean?
Well, but they took over, but they took the moon and the South Pole.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. They were given, they're like, look, we'll stop if you give us that.
The dark side of the moon.
I found out
Argentina
and the South Pole.
And the South Pole.
900,000 pounds. 450,000 tons of ammo.
Jesus,
you found
Christ.
It? I was looking for it. I know I had the Liberty ship thing there somewhere.
It's the numbers are just
it's almost like, 1 million pounds of ammo.
Yeah. And I'm sure that also
I
is
mean,
that,
ammo's heavy, but that's a lot.
I wonder if that counts for
just that backpack in the room full
bullets.
Of shotgun shells is heavy as fuck.
That's just ammunition.
Just bullets.
That's ammunition. Yeah. That's just bullets.
But when you get enough fucking 50 caliber machine guns, that shit's gonna weigh a little bit, you know. But yeah, so, I mean, keep in mind that, I mean, we talk about the fact that 2 million troops landed on the beach in Normandy and moved into Europe. And right now,
the
entire U.S. Army right now is 480,000 people.
Holy shit.
Just, again, just giving you the scale.
Until the draft opens up.
Right,
and it's
and then it's back up to 2
million.
We're
too old, right? They can't get us?
Yeah, we're too old.
Yeah.
You're it depends on how bad it gets.
Yeah. If it's World War III, we're going to war.
Yeah, it depends on how bad it gets.
I was just saying, think about the resources involved in simply uniforms.
I mean, I'm ready
just
to fuck up a UPS driver.
Give everybody a pair of fucking socks.
Yeah.
The undertaking that takes logistically to get everyone to manufacture.
Well, that's why U.S. companies and shit would turn into manufacturing facilities for things just for the war. Like you were making Coke cans, now you're making airplanes.
Exactly.
Like fucking.
And then think about bullets. That's fucking crazy. Like those dudes need a pair of socks, but then they need a bunch of bullets.
Yep.
Yeah. They need all that stuff. The minerals, the metals, everything they have to fucking get together to create that and manufacture that. It's no wonder they waited 2 years.
And the supply chain. There has to be a supply chain. Like we put our guys on Normandy, if they cut us off, we might as well have not put anyone on Normandy.
I think war tactics have gotten more efficient too, like we talked about. Like it's not about sending 50,000, you know, fucking planes over one specific area. You know, it's more about hitting specific targets correctly.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like drones and shit now.
Right.
So
too bad 90% of drone strikes are fucking not right.
I mean, as far as you know,
that's like the stat. That's like the
from who
stat.
Though? That's the thing.
Freedom of information. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what they say. They admit it.
Yeah. Exactly.
They always kill the wrong people. They hit a fucking, a priest.
I don't know. We have a lot of misinformation too. So it's hard to take for, you know, that might be right. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Freedom
I don't know.
Misinformation
either.
Act.
Yeah.
It's still a different world though. Like a drone fires one, in military terms, small missile.
Yeah.
Hits a building, blows it up. kills 50 people, yeah. you know, but compare that to
bombarding yeah. a fucking city.
Exactly. Like sending 1,000 planes to bomb a yeah. city into submission. And everyone's dying.
But that could that could end up happening if you have 50,000 drones, you know sure. what I mean? That can just keep repeatedly going right. over, and then you're not losing anybody if right. a drone gets shot down.
Right.
You know, you lose some plastic or some shit, you know.
So. But again, just the logistics. Again, think of the town that you live insane. In. Like if you yeah. live in a smaller town.
If you live in Bakersfield now, that's what happened.
We right.
went from nothing to
but like I mean,
850,000 people.
Like 160,000 people on D-Day
yeah.
make it to the beach.
Yeah.
So you now have 160,000 people that need clothes. Mm-hmm. That need food, that need water, that need ammo, that need fucking
lost
gasoline, that yeah. need morphine, that need fucking, yeah. like, that's so, like, Jesus Christ, like, that's so much infrastructure that needs to travel yeah. with these guys. And again, well, when you watch Band of Brothers and you see them going up to
yeah, I think it's
the
like,
Battle of Bastogne, it's like, we don't have it. I don't have a warm weather jacket and we don't have any socks.
If you think right. about
there
it,
there
like
is no food. We're
Civil,
fucked.
Civil War times, what killed the South? The supply. They right. cut off the supply.
Yep.
Killed the war. So, I mean, that's the same thing. They were able to, what killed the Germans is cutting off their supplies.
Right.
You know what I mean? The SEO or SOE, the SO
yeah.
going and stopping specific train routes and blocking things.
And that's, again,
that essentially kills
right.
certain things.
And you know, I think so. That's why the deception was so important to move Nazis to different locations. Mm-hmm. That's why it was crucial to bomb the shit out of everything past Normandy.
Yeah.
Because we need to make sure there's nothing back there but scorched earth for a good yeah. day so that we've got time to recover and fully secure the, I mean, just,
yeah,
just, I mean, it's unbelievable. But once you establish it, once the channel is clear, you can get supplies over the channel fairly easily. But yeah, they laid three fuel lines through the English Channel. Two of them got destroyed and one of them.
Is there just a spigot sticking out like a submarine fucking periscope? Like, or does it make it all the way to the beach somewhere?
No, it goes.
They got some docks.
It goes all the way to the beach.
Yeah, it's like a pipeline.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what we did.
To France somewhere.
Yeah.
Hiding between some rocks. There happens to be a fucking fuel pipe there.
Yep.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How did they not get detected doing that shit?
No. Those didn't get put in place until after D-Day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like so once they secured it, then
they, once
yeah,
they
then they had
it.
To have a way to get fuel right. and whatnot
right.
to the other side
right.
without using boats and stuff.
Yep. Because the boats are going to, I mean, the U-boats are still a major threat. So yeah. even though we're right. still sending a ton of shit through the channel by sea, that's a much safer way to do it is yeah. to have the
fuel was important.
Yeah. yeah. It's crucial. Like the war is won by planes and tanks. And if we don't have fuel, then that's fucking right. not happening. So that's D-Day. Again, just the scale of it blows my mind. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be a paratrooper looking out at 800 airplanes in the same sky with you and to see the light to jump and just see 10,000 paratroopers dropping through the fucking sky. What it would have been like to be a Nazi
fucking,
and look
be
up
terrifying.
And see 10,000 paratroopers
yeah. no,
or to
terrifying.
be a 5-year-old French boy seeing paratroopers yeah. just dropping from the sky.
Or a 15-year-old running onto the beach and getting destroyed.
Yeah. Right?
yeah. Red Dawn. Fucking, some Red Dawn shit.
Just rough, man. So brutal.
All right,
but that's D-Day. Blows my mind.
I got some social media winners. We're not going to be able to pull off bonus, huh?
No.
All right. So then I'm just going to do two winners because I got two on here. So for the bonus episode last week, What's Your Price? Where we asked each other how much money it would take to
fuck a dolphin hole?
To fuck a dolphin on the beach.
Yeah. There's something
to become
else
a man whore.
To do it on
purpose. Man whore. It was the gigolo.
Yeah. It was many things.
Using Sunday.
I was tempted. Yeah. I can't talk about shit anymore that's local. That came back to me.
Why is that?
That came back to me, like the person that we talked about that I mentioned that started that conversation. That came back
remember.
To me.
Via, I don't remember either.
I just
Who
said
was it?
The thing was Local. Storied upon, like, how does a person have this job but hang out with these guys and have Lamborghinis and shit? And it came back. Just like when I said the shit about my neighbor, it happened to be one of our listeners' fucking relatives.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, that shit, like, you can't say anything local anymore.
Like, talk about some hot sauce and somebody has it.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
It's crazy. It's weird.
So, anyways, for the bonus episode last week, Shane O'Mac 811. Shane O'Mac 811 wins a sticker pack for sharing on Twitter. So Frankie Pigeon's going to hit you up and get your address. And
There is a wrestling fan.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Who's is Shane? It? Shane O'Mac?
Shane McMahon.
Oh, is that what it is?
Shane O'Mac.
All right. I didn't know that. But Printer Cheap's going to give you some stickers.
Shortly after Rap came out, Shane O'Mac came out. Is that how that song went?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I actually know those lyrics because that was the outro. That's the part I know.
Did you listen to the song?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I was listening, I skipped through some of it because sometimes it's just like, I mean, it is, yeah, it's
I thought it was funny.
It's a lot of Japanese whiskey repetitively.
Wow, that's not, I like that.
But. Yeah, and there's a lot of words that
I'm
just moving on past.
Oh, like the N-word.
Yeah, it happens a lot. And I'm like, I'm not using this part.
Nostradamus?
That might not happen.
You didn't listen to the story of that song, though?
Not the whole thing,
Baby Man? You didn't? Mm-mm. Oh, man.
I still got the audio, bro. I'll go listen to it.
He talks about being born and picking up the nurses and stuff. It's good. Yeah.
He flirts with the nurses as a baby?
Yeah. Comes out, yeah.
All right. Where the fuck was I at? Shane O'Mac. Shane O'Mac 811 wins a sticker pack from Printer Cheap. And
it's not O'Mac.
Or it is Shane O'Mac.
Shane O'Mac.
Okay, Shane O'Mac 811.
The Mac Attack.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for sharing on Twitter. For episode 398, Wild Bill, McMother Trucker, that's a good one, is going to win a sticker pack for sharing on Instagram, also from Printer Cheap. Thank you for doing that because I've been promoting the fuck out of some episodes. And I can see our stats for how many people visit the profile, and it just is not.
No, it's not worth it. I say we stop. We're going to shut it down. We're going to do something different.
Close them all down.
We're going to
make Brinstagram.
I think what we should do is start paying. Yeah. Instead of paying Facebook, we just pay individual people to start fucking promoting.
There you go.
And going out and fucking going on Reddit and going on. Yeah. So
that's not
hit us up
idea.
If you're interested
that's not
to do
a bad
that.
Idea. Yeah.
Tired of this bullshit of fucking
we'll
internet.
We'll get a street crew
Facebook
instead.
Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, street crew is fucking.
That'd be funny.
I think
we'll just mail stickers to someone and pay them to go fucking sticker the fuck out
that
of some place.
Get on. And if you're fucking avid on Reddit and fucking all this shit, like, yeah, we need help.
If you live near
a
college campus,
you're going to get paid.
That might be our demographic. Yeah. Go fucking litter it with flyers.
Yep.
Let's do that instead.
I would rather give people, listeners, money who are going to
fucking
actually help and be passionate about the product than fucking help Facebook out in any fucking
can we make like a superhero outfit for them?
Garbage.
Like, and we'll get some kind of dice elimination, like print it out.
We'll give
like,
them fucking street team shirts and shit. Yeah, that's what's up.
It'll be like a Blue Ribbon Man.
Fucking, we're going to build a fucking Seven Nation Army.
All right.
I like
it's going to fucking happen.
I like it.
Street crew.
Street crew, yeah.
Yep.
Spell the K.
It's fucking
street
army.
Crew. It's SK, street crew. Spell the K.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's it. All right.
Or Seven Nations spelled with a KN nation.
Nice.
But anyways, at Mother Tracker.
I like that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Also, thank you to Elia Kateko Hot Sauce. That is our primary sponsor. And like Dave said in the beginning, thank you from our hearts, like for supporting us through since I don't know what episode that was, fucking seven or some shit, since way
from
back.
The beginning, man.
Way
from
back when we were nothing, gave us some bottles of hot sauce and had faith in us. They've made our lives completely different. It's an experience. Like if this was the top and it's all down from here, thanks for happening because it was a blast. We went to Chicago and New York and fucking Kansas City and fucking Anaheim. We got to do all kinds of great stuff and it's been really great. So thank you, Sarah and Amy and 25% Mariah. Because you came along later, but thanks, Mariah. She listens.
Yeah,
she does listen. So, thank you to them. Thank you to Printer Cheap as well. They have been with us from pretty much the beginning, right? Yeah. It was a little bit later in there, but they've been around for years.
Cheap is, for at least 3 years.
And then to all the shirt printers that have fallen before Jimmy D's.
Yeah,
thank you to
Jimmy D is supreme though.
Yeah, it's like a fucking Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you to Jimmy D's Tees. You can go to his website. You can order t-shirts. You can go to our website and order t-shirts that he made. So go check that out. And then also thank you to Digital Creations. They supported us from the absolute beginning as well. They're actually our first sponsor. From fucking like mouse pads to fucking coffee mugs and buttons and stickers in the beginning. Thank you to Jennifer over at Digital Creations for all that. And I think that's all I got.
So we've got our item to announce, our episode 400 item. Mm-hmm. So we have a poster drawn by the amazing Hilgendorfer. Jay Hilgenfeld drew a poster. And
Hilgenfeldington.
It's an episode for
Feldingtonville.
The poster is a drawing of the primary people that and or cryptids that we've covered in the 400 episodes.
Yeah.
So the people that we think
made the biggest impression, not like listeners and so forth, but like, no. You know, the people we
Jeffrey
covered,
Dahmer's
like
on
Prince
there. Jason,
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah,
there's a whole list of serial killers and the Chupacabra and the Chupacabra lady and fucking Tesla,
Hitler,
and, you know, obviously Coleman and all kinds of people.
Dave's naked on it. I'll just say that.
I am naked.
Dave
on
is nude.
It's true. Yeah. I'm not lying. It is. I am
with
naked
the exception
the
of a patch of orange hair in a strategic
naked
location.
Yeah. That doesn't mean not naked.
He posed for it.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon. It's kind of cartoonized, but that's it's pretty me accurate.
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate. So,
and what style of art? It's like a, it's like the,
it's like
a,
it's like an old school,
art,
like Popeye or Betty Boop esque, like 1920s, like animation style.
It's kind of
art.
Funny. Yeah. It's kind of funny. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah.
So, that's the poster. It's got, 50
characters on it or something.
I don't even know. Actually, it's 50, a fucking ton 50 of
characters.
Yeah.
A lot of people on it from the show. We're going to be figuring out exactly how it will be disseminated. We'll probably end up giving it to
how deciduous of you.
Some of our top patrons will get it for free, and some of our not top patrons and everybody else will be able to purchase it through some means. It will be on the website soon. If you're listening to this live, nothing is up there yet, but during the week we'll be figuring out exactly how it's gonna launch. It's done. The artwork is done. We're just figuring out the logistics of how we want to print it. Do we want to print it and have it sent to us and then ship it to people? Do we want to use a service that just prints it and directly ships to people? We have overseas stuff to think about. Yeah. So there's a lot of logistics, almost as much logistics as D-Day. It's close.
We're gonna have a few operations
there will be misinformation for sure.
Starting with Operation Blister Dick. That's one of the first
that's this one right here. You know about it, but you don't know when or where
exactly. That's Operation Blister Dick.
Wash your hands after opening the package. That's your one chance. You've been told. Exactly. You've been warned. If you didn't listen, then you don't know.
And you don't know which package.
It
could be any package.
Don't touch your package after that package.
Right.
You will be a member of Operation Blister Dick.
Yep. So
also, if you jerk off with soap, you should definitely take a shower. Don't go about your day and wait till later.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that about?
It could be Operation Blister Dick. You might shed like a snake later.
Yeah.
I've been told.
Yeah. So that will get posted. You'll all have access to it. We'll have an image of it probably posted in the group and maybe our main Facebook. I'll post an image on Instagram and so forth. But it will be spread around. The day that 400 actually drops, we'll release more information. So that'll be Thursday or Friday. Could be misinformation.
Yeah, it might give you a bad website.
It's true.
And it won't be for lack of planning.
Right.
Yeah. We just gave that. It was a joke.
Yeah.
It's not that we're going to have our shit together.
Damn it. We can't release it on the 4th of July now. Because we're supposed to pick an American school member of the month.
Oh.
We picked a South American. Well, South American works.
African. South African.
Oh, no. Never mind then.
I don't know. It's one of them big old fucking land masses, man. It ain't here. That's some over there shit.
I know. She's at the bottom, though.
She's white, though.
She's at the bottom.
If she was in America and she didn't speak, everybody would think she was American.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what she looks like.
I don't know. She looks like a... You ever seen the Titanic?
Where's this going? Yes, I've seen the Titanic.
Like the boat?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she looks like.
Oh, she's huge?
Yeah.
Big girl.
A disaster.
Oh, big
girl.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Not necessarily big, just a disaster.
Yeah.
I thought you meant she went down.
That she did. She does go down. That's what I said. She's at the bottom of the mass.
Oh, okay.
Like whatever land mass she's around, she's at the bottom. She's on her knees.
Yeah.
I figured that was good. It was either that she looked like Leonardo DiCaprio. So
No.
If he had long hair, it might be okay.
He's handsome.
You find that a lot. It's all about symmetry. You know what I mean? Sometimes you
especially with these new these new filters. Women are looking like men. Men are looking like women. I don't know.
Cats and dogs living together.
It's crazy.
Think of all the unregistered voters.
It's as crazy.
Registered voters. It says
registered
like that. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
Now it's going to be thinking
saving
of all the unregistered
the lives
voters
of all the registered voters. Millions of registered voters. That's what it is. Think about it. You'll be saving the life.
Talking about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
That.
Yeah, from the beach.
You ever seen the beach? Yeah.
I have seen
that's
the beach.
What I'm talking about.
That video game part's weird, though.
It's fucking
I do like
awesome
that movie, though. That might be like Phuket, where they film that shit.
It might be.
Yeah.
I think it is. They filmed
Paradise
it.
Paradise Beach.
I need to see it again. I haven't seen it since it's a
good movie. Leonardo DiCaprio is one of my faves.
He's good.
I just watched Django again. Django is a movie I've watched.
That is a good movie.
More times than I've.
I've only seen it once. I need to see it
again. I think Django's second in line to, or third in line, I'm sorry, to Happy Gilmore, then Snatch, and then Django, probably.
Would you say you like it better than Bowling to Justin Bieber tracks? Because I know that's one of your best pastimes. I know. That's Michael Moore's next movie, Bowling for Bieber.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bowling, yeah, Bowling for Bieber. Yeah. It's all strikes. So I don't know. I can't say.
It was all strikes when you got Bieber going on.
All strikes. Yeah.
Something about it. Have you tried Ed Sheeran?
Baby, baby, ooh. No, Ed Sheeran's garbage.
You're bullshitty?
No. He, all gutter balls? He doesn't even have a fucking soul.
I don't even know who
that's
he is.
That's true.
Yeah. Ed Sheeran, he's a redheaded fucking British guy. Sings pop music.
You honestly don't know who that is?
Damn.
You were talking about him earlier. I was just playing along.
Yeah. Thanks.
I have no idea who he is.
Ed Sheeran, he's the new... I don't know. What is he? The new Justin Timberlake, the new. He's the new. He's the new pop.
Like, he's the new Robin Thicke.
Nah, there's just no one like this motherfucker.
Nah, Robin Thicke does everything. Robin Thicke's got soul. Robin Thicke's.
He like writes everybody's songs. It's like fucking featuring Ed Sheeran on every fucking track. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I just know if he would help with Brad's bowling, but I mean, why fix something that's not broke? Right, if you got Bieber and strikes, leave it alone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Old Bieber too. Not old Bieber, but old Bieber.
Yeah. Like
young Bieber.
Young
not
Bieber.
Bieber.
Yeah. Not old Bieber.
Old young Bieber.
Old young Bieber.
Old young Bieber.
Yeah. Bieber. Yeah.
All cats are green in the dark.
Bieber. That's right.
Like Ben
Cougar
Franklin.
Bieber, yes.
Ben Franklin pussy, basically.
Yes. That's exactly. I think if somebody has a cat, somebody gets a new cat, you have to name it Ben Franklin.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin's pussy.
Yeah.
In a bowl.
Or right. Cougar Beaver, for sure.
Could be in a box. Cougar Beaver is a good one.
Yeah.
Like that's a good one. Cougar Beaver.
Yeah.
Fucking cat name. Yeah. I like that.
That's a good
I'm going to go get a cat today. Give me a Cougar Beaver.
Cougar Beaver?
I'm going to start calling Brent's mom Cougar Beaver.
You could. Oh,
you could.
It's fair.
So it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Call her up. Hey, Cougar Beaver.
Oh, man.
Happy 400, John.
Happy 400, sir.
Yeah. It's the last one we'll do.
This is it. Yeah.
Thanks to everybody. I'm out of here.
June Fools.
Yeah. If you're on Reddit, go to r4/SofaKingPodcast. Help out there. If you are, it's getting more traction. People are showing up.
Yeah.
People are participating.
Yep.
Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at SofaKingPodcast. I am at Raised with Wolves. We have SofaKingBrit and SofaKingDave on Instagram. Also check out at Hilgenfeld for artwork and stuff. If you need anything done for you or your company or anything, Captainist_SK Quotes and LUKateco_Hot Sauce and
those cookies are gone. I ate them all, for the record.
Visit patreon.com/SofaKingPodcast to support the show. Go to SofaKingPodcast.com/shop to support the show. If you're looking for songs at the end of the episode, go to Spotify and search SofaKing Podcast. Search for the 2019 playlist. They'll be on there. And that's pretty much it. Don't be a retard.
Sweet to be sour. too nice to be. When on the tough guy style, I'm not too keen. Try to change the world, I will plot and scheme. Mario C likes to keep it clean. Clean. Gonna shine like gay some beam. Keep on rapping, cause that's my dream. Dream. Hit from OD for a stick to theme. Now when it comes to envy, y'all is green. Jealous of the rhyme and the rhyme routine. Team. Another dimension, new galaxy. Intergalactic planetary.
If I'm a family to your old school hip hop, kick off your shoes and relax your socks. Your rhymes will spread just like a box, cause the music is live like an electric shock. Yeah, I am known to do the rock. What? What's so known for the Flintstone flop? Flop. Tammy D getting beers on the top. Drop. BC boys known to let the beat drop. Now when I wrote graffiti, my name was Slop. If my rap shoot, my beats is stop. Set from the cable when I start to drop. I'm a lumberjack DJ. If you try to knock me, you'll get mocked. I'll stir fry you in my wok. Your knees will start shaking and your fingers pop. Like a pin swimming back up Mr. Spock. Intergalactic planetary, intergalactic, intergalactic planetary, intergalactic, intergalactic planetary, intergalactic, intergalactic planetary, intergalactic. Another dimension.